So this session will cover a partnership with United Nations, Project Fortis, and how we're using GraphQL to draw insights into humanitarian crises around the world. So a little bit about myself. My name is Eric Schlegel. I'm a senior engineer for Partner Catalyst team, and I'm based out of Austin. A big part of what we do is we use open source and emerging technologies to solve really challenging customer problems. So the partnership with the United Nations, OCHA, started about a year ago. And what OCHA does is they construct humanitarian aid plans for disasters around the world. These disasters can comprise of terrorist attacks, famine, refugee displacement. So a big issue that they faced was that these disasters typically occur in areas with very limited access or in areas that are the most dangerous places on Earth, so Mosul, Aleppo, or Benghazi. So we held a Hackfest about a year ago in New York City to truly understand what the OCHA operations team does on the day-to-day to try to figure out what their day-to-day workflow is for monitoring these remote locations. And our goal was to accelerate the construction of these humanitarian aid plans, as well as improve the accuracy of these planning situations as well. So this is the driving factor and the basis of what came about for Project Fortis. So we built this thing, and what we're doing, so the main goal of Project Fortis is a pipeline that collects data from many different places, being able to compute it very fast through distributed computing, and provide insights and trends into what's driving the need for humanitarian aid. So a variety of different sources that we're collecting from for Fortis is collecting feeds from Facebook, Bing, Instagram, Twitter, and then another partner through Microsoft's accelerator program called Tada Web, which they simulate web crawling from both the public and the darknet. So the way that we're able to build the back-end infrastructure for Fortis is heavily built off Spark Streaming. So what we did was Spark Streaming natively comes packaged with Twitter Streaming. So you could actually stream tweets directly to Spark models. As part of Apache Bahir, which is a set of these Spark Streaming connectors, we then contributed back to Spark, to native Spark, for streaming connectors for Instagram, for Bing, and for Facebook as well. HD Insight already had a streaming connector that they open source for Event Hub, so we just piggybacked off that. And one great thing about Spark Streaming is, by the fact that these are all translated as DStream objects, you could actually run functional operators off of these and unionize all these streams in real time and converge these together and join them accordingly. So for media-based assets that are coming from Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, we're using the computer vision APIs with cognitive services to do object detection off of those images. So then comes the Fortis streaming pipeline. So we have a variety of different scale Spark jobs. And as events come through, we parse the event, and we're extracting keywords and topics off of the discussions. We've integrated OpenStreetMap to the pipeline to do location inference. So for example, if somebody mentioned a tweet of a bombing occurred at Cafe Nero in northern Benghazi, we could then come up with a confidence rating of saying that find Cafe Nero in the entire shape of northern Benghazi and geolocate that event to that particular place. We're also extracting a variety of different aspects of the message as well, mood, sentiment, as well as using Bing's name entity recognition off of that as well. So what we do is we take all these features that we're collecting, we normalize them, and then we aggregate them by geotile and by location. And we're doing that all through Cassandra. Spark comes packaged with an R server, so you're able to actually extend your own R models for predictive analysis. So we're working with World Health Organization and a couple of other partners on trying to predict where Zika virus is spreading by looking at weather forecast data and temperature level information, precipitation, and being able to take that as an input, aggregate all that information up, and then using GraphQL to stream those responses to a GraphQL endpoint, which then we have a dashboard that draws those real-time insights off of these events occurring, and then GraphQL acting as the service backend. So demo slides are one thing, but the demo is going to be much more impactful than that. So this is Project Fortis. So this is the actual Fortis dashboard. And when you first come in, we first provide what are the most trending topics that we've collected within a given area. So here we're showing that the mentions of attack, people, Libyan forces, and ISIS are mentioning. So we wanted to focus on a targeted scenario when we first collaborated with OCHA. And they wanted to focus on the post-Gaddafi situation in Libya to track refugee displacement. So here you have a heat map indicating all the mentions of these topics. The color is indicative of the sentiment, and the number is indicative of the total number of mentions. At the top, on the top right-hand corner, you show a histogram, so you can indicate the trends and the peaks and the valleys of the different mentions over time. So here, we're going to say, show me all the mentions between suicide, ISIS, and armed. So just taking a look at the events that we're grabbing from Tata Web. Here, the news feed that you see on the right is going to be filtered based on the map bounds that you see in the heat map. So as we open up a detailed message that we're collecting, here we're collecting it from a blog site called independent.co.uk. You actually see all the words highlighted based on the watch list of topics that we've configured for this site. And then as well as on the left, all the locations that we're geolocating. And of course, the original article of the post. So I'll just use GraphQL a little bit for those who haven't had the opportunity to check it out. So what GraphQL does really well is it allows you to grab as much data as possible over a single round trip to your backend server. It's an alternative for REST and OData. So imagine that you have a latent network that's 100 milliseconds, even sometimes thousands of milliseconds of latency. The one key thing you want to do is try to minimize the round trips you have back to your backend web APIs. So GraphQL allows you to declaratively describe exactly what type of data you want to get back. So it was created by Facebook back in 2012. And why did Facebook create a new thing? Mainly because they ran into deep struggles of just retrieving data. So treating mobile as a first-class citizen, they had to craft a solution for high latency bandwidths. So just to check out the hello world of GraphQL queries. So here we're providing a query for an endpoint called Traveler. So we're saying, give me the name of the most recently recorded traveler. One thing you'll notice is that this looks very similar to JSON. It's very JSON-esque. You have curly braces. Those curly braces is called a selection set. And then within a given query, you could also have parameters as well. And this provides more granular control of how you actually interface with your selection sets. So being able to filter and sort your data and also control pagination. So we send this query to a server. The server parses the query, validates it, and then it returns a response. You'll notice that the response looks very similar to the way that your query. You could think of it as when you actually post a GraphQL query, you're really describing how you want the response as opposed to what the query is. Of course, with GraphQL, we can request fields to have more complex values. It's not just meant to query one thing, but smoothly follow the connections between them. So here, we're querying for a list called edges. So this is a This is a Fortis GraphQL query where we're querying for a particular event on a site called Ocha, and we're saying, filter the data sources for just ACLID. And you'll notice here that you could actually specify lists within your actual response. So typically within REST, you'll see these type of requests through like a chained response. So how do we validate that this query is OK to run? It's because the type system tells us. So GraphQL is built off the flow-based type system, which provides all the data structures that are in line with your backend APIs. So it describes what's possible and not possible via through emission. So here we have our query that we saw earlier called event. It returns a type of type event. Here we describe exactly what fields that event data type supports. The curly bracket on the right of the data type illustrates that it returns a type list. Exclamation mark that is that the field is actually required. So just a reminder of what that, just tying it back to the original query. This is basically just illustrating that you don't have to actually respond, you don't actually have to return the entire result set back. And the key about GraphQL is that you have to actually request your data queries down to the scalar leaf node. So the whole concept of select star minimizes any ambiguity of your query. So you know exactly what you're going to get every single time. And that promise is quite amazing. So how do we actually map custom code to our backend queries? Well, you could, with every selection set you define in GraphQL, you define a resolver. So, and you could have, with the fact that you have nested selection sets within a data structure, the first thing you'll notice is that parent response object. And the way that works is it'll first compute the root node, compute the response, and then pass that response down to the child leaf nodes. So it recursively goes down that tree-like data structure and provides the args for that particular query as well. And then the response is always a promise. GraphQL supports a second data type called mutation. So this is a way that you actually can manipulate nodes within GraphQL. The great thing about GraphQL is it supports introspection. So for every backend query, you could actually, there's a property called underscore schema where you could actually return back the entire schema of your endpoint. And that also includes documentation. So every implementation of GraphQL comes with is packaged with Graphical. So Graphical is a browser-based IDE that allows you to write and test queries against your API. It also highlights issues and has type-ahead completion. Documentation is a first-class citizen in GraphQL. So it's all part of introspection query. So almost GraphQL becomes a tool to build other tools through CodeGen. So as we're moving Fortis towards more of a real-time scenario, like why are real-time apps interesting? They're quite expensive to build, but real-time apps are interesting because they give us a sense of presence, because they give us a feeling of connection. Like, we're part of something as it happens. So would you rather watch a sporting event live, or would you rather watch it pre-recorded? So in terms of grabbing information from a backend endpoint, there's two approaches. You either do polling or it's more of a sub-pub pattern. So just to illustrate more of a polling model, say imagine that within the newsfeed of Fortis. The timeline here is representative of all the state changes over time. So say we build a polling client that polls, say, every minute. So you can imagine here that all the state changes between, say, the 6th and the 8th change, we lose all those state changes as it happens. Now, you could fix this, of course, by polling more frequently, but that's just a lot of waste. So if we had a stateful channel, more for the subscription approach, between the server and the client, we're able to eliminate all that wasteful network hops. So now to go in more into event-based subscriptions in more detail. So here, there's a third type that GraphQL is about to release called subscription. So here you define as part of your schema all your subscriptions on your backend. So in terms of actually having a client request and subscribe into it as a topic, here we have a subscription called Events Added. So this is the events channel. So anytime a new event is added to Fortis, we want to know about it. And then in line, you're able to provide also what type of data structures you want to come back from that. With subscriptions as well, you could actually provide filters. So say you're only interested for events that were categorized for sports. So this stuff is super exciting as you're able to build more reactive backend extensions. They kind of work similar to the way reactive front-end extensions work. So you have observables. You're able to subscribe to those observables. As your database nodes were to change, those data nodes are actually pushed down to all your clients that are all your clients and your devices that are subscribed into that event channel. So just to talk about how the actual real-time event flow works in Fortis. You have a GraphQL backend server. So you say, for example, you have two Fortis dashboard clients subscribed into a particular channel. We're able to build a sub through a pub-sub approach. The GraphQL subscribes to a topic. So say you have tweets and Facebook comments and posts streamed through Spark Streaming or aggregate through Cassandra. As the compute is fully processed, we publish those events through Event Hub. So right now we're working on building the backend glue and adapter for Event Hub to work with GraphQL subscriptions. There's currently one available for RabbitMQ and for Redis. So those are published to the PubSub system. Then the PubSub system then responds those mutations back to the GraphQL server. Then GraphQL then responds back to all the clients. And then, of course, the variety of other GraphQL requests happen directly off of Postgres and through Cassandra. So just to call action, I think, so we're continually adding more data extensions as we go, even with being able to use cognitive service and speech-to-text audio streaming directly into Fortis and being able to convert that into text and then do location and topical inference off of that. So in areas like Pakistan, radio broadcasts are the most unbiased media sources out there. So folks within the UN typically monitor radio more than any other. So being able to actually add that into Fortis as well, I think we're embarking on something truly amazing, truly special. So I encourage everyone to get involved, take a look at some of the tasks on our plate, and contribute to this incredible effort. So the source has been open source onto aka.ms/fortiscode. The demo video also is aka.ms/fortis-demo, which actually go through more of a step-through description of all the features that we have in Fortis. And then the code story is just recently published at Fortis Stash Story. Thanks to you all for joining.